Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Done what's right by that area. Lexington Terrace had drug addicts and dope dealing going on there. The Pines, it's a slum lord. They let the kids walk through trash every day. Code's been out there. It's disgusting. It needs to go away. The kids go out to play and across the street at the Sonic. There's a homeless camp. And I will tell you today that's going away. Thank you, Ronnie Rivera and SRI. Talked to Lars and Lana yesterday. It is going away, and that building will be demolished in the next month. It's taken me 4 months, but it is happening. So there is positive things happening.
Yeah, Ronnie Rivera with the Scammy Sheriff's Office, and you know they've got that bulldozer that they can take down buildings. They've done it a couple of times, blighted, terrible buildings that get used by vagrants and constitute unsafe conditions. The Pines, though, is interesting because that's a relatively new-ish looking apartment complex, townhome complex, right on the south side of Navy at the Bend, basically. And if you know, my wife and I having biked kind of all of Escambia County and most of Santa Rosa County so far, this is the place I remember looking. I'm like thinking, oh, this is a fine place, no big deal. Because you see places where you're like, oh, this is not a safe place to be at night, you know? And then you see other places where it just seems like fine. But apparently the Pines is one of these, you know, problem areas. I didn't know about this. But Lumen May was bringing up the question of, you know, this is why we got to be careful about these tax incentivized build projects, because when the tax abatements expire, the people leave and they abandon it to whatever happens, and that's not a good thing.
Oakwood Terrace was once a very nice place, and I could tell you Addis Court probably was once a nice place, and Pensacola Village was once a nice place. But once those tax credits expire after 15 years, the developers exit, leave it, and leave the blight to us. And so that's why we have to negotiate that deal on the front end, and that's why I'm very reluctant to supporting those tax credit projects that come here without the right developers. And so that's what you end up with.
Yeah, I agree with that concern. By the way, Oakwood Terrace, kind of interesting. That's the one that used to be Truman Arms, right? Back in the day is what that one used to be.
Yeah, that's where Pizza Hut wouldn't deliver.
People, the kids who live in that area, I was talking to somebody who's a teacher and says the kids still call it that. They call it TA.
Yeah.
Even though it's, you know, rebranded officially for as long as I've lived here as, and longer than that as, you know, Oakwood Terrace, they call it the TA. So anyway, just how things can persist even when you try to make a change. Not that that's like a substantial change or anything, but, you know, as he talked about, as Lumen was talking about the Pines.
Because the Pines is fairly new, and I remember when it was fairly exclusive, you know, 10, 12 years ago. I remember, I pick children up in there, and it's very dangerous at times. There's been a lot of shooting, a lot of killings, and not a lot of lights, and, you know, children are even scared to be in that place.
Wow, that's, I mean, pretty concerning, right?
Unfortunately, once we sign off on it, we don't have a lot of jurisdiction in terms of going on private property. And so I know that I was called about all the problems at the Pines. I'm so happy that you were elected so I didn't have to go deal with it. But
I'm there regularly.
Yeah,
I mean, just the difficulty of regulating something like that, of getting control of it when it's become a problem area, and especially it's private property, you know, what kind of opportunity do you have to go in there and really regulate it from the county's point of view? You know, if there's a crime, that's one thing from law enforcement point of view. But, you know, the challenge with these, call them projects, right? Not that one looks like it. If you go through, they just like, well, this seems like a fairly nice place, but apparently not. So 7:14 on News Radio 92.3. You always get all kinds of interesting things in the commissioner's comments section. Like, for example, you had Commissioner Bender talk about an acquisition Escambia County got.
Special thanks to Jamie Higgin for going to New Orleans to pick up 3 jet skis for Escambia County Fire and Pensacola Beach Public Safety. I know we've been searching for a number of years to try to get these, and he was finally able to secure them. Again, it's he's done this with ATVs and trying to get out there and make sure that our people have the resources they need to do their job properly and efficiently.
Hey, great. You know, because finding gear has kind of been a challenge since COVID. So, good. Picked up some jet skis. All you got to do is go over to New Orleans to get them, you know? Like, they're always scrambling and scrounging to go find stuff all over the place. Like, demo models of fire trucks, fire engines that we can acquire. And, You know, that's why it kind of irked me so much that we had a chance to buy the two and we only bought the one. I mean, at least we did buy the one and then others as well. But, you know, it's kind of like, man, you had a chance. You know, take it because you don't know when it's going to come around again. 7:15 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like everything's running smoothly. Taking a look at New Warrington and Navy, no problems. There are Cervantes into the curve on Scenic. Mobile Highway not showing any issues. 98 clear as well. Certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown or have a traffic tip, 437-1620 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, one of the other things that happened in that meeting, it was a... You know, sometimes there's unexpected emotion, and I've got one of those for you coming up from Wes Moreno, the unexpected source of any emotion, right?
What?
But you'll like this when I share it with you coming up next after a quick break. But hey, before that, I want to let you know if you're building something, if you're remodeling something, if you're trying to do a home repair project or whatever, Pensacola Hardware, I mean, they're the place to go, and partially because they have all the stuff. Like, they have all the stuff. If you need something and they don't have it, the truth is you don't need it, like, because they will have everything you need in stock because they know, and they don't think you ought to have to wait to order something. That's true whether you're just a, you know, ordinary guy like me or whether you're an actual construction professional. They will have it on hand, and they have the knowledge of the codes, of how to install it, of how to use it, of what the safety equipment is, of even what the inspectors are looking for when they come and check things out, or just how to do the little job around the house that you're trying to do. That institutional knowledge from lives of people who have loved hardware and served Pensacola for, you know, since 1851, like the oldest business in the state of Florida. So if you need any kind of gear, you need any kind of help, Pensacola Hardware is the place to go, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As Christians, we make much of Jesus' efficacious death through crucifixion, and we make much of his resurrection from the grave, and we should. However, a major moment in the life of Christ that's often overlooked is his ascension. After all, Christ's ascension is his coronation, his exaltation, his enthronement. It signifies mission accomplished and job well done. At his ascension, Jesus is once again seated at the right hand of God the Father, and his enemies become his footstool. On the day that Jesus ascended, two promises were made. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and indeed he did, powerfully, in Acts chapter 2. Secondly, one of the angels promised that Jesus would return in the same way that he was received up into heaven. The ascension is important because it is a reminder that Jesus is coming again, and as Christians, we say with John the Revelator, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly."
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Oh, will you do me a favor then?
What?
Can you bring me my chapstick?
No, Napoleon.
But my lips hurt real bad.
Just borrow some from the school nurse. I know she has like five sticks in her drawer.
I'm not gonna use hers, you sicko.
Board of County Commissioners regular meeting March 23rd, which is one of the greatest days in America. I mean, probably the greatest day. My fault. You're doing a good job. You're doing, and as a matter of fact, you can stay after the meeting and keep singing.
Lumen's birthday. Yeah, it was last Thursday during the meeting. So he kept giving people a hard time about how long the meeting was taking as he's like, I'm trying to get off to deal with my birthday, you know, so that's kind of funny. But no, this moment with Wes Moreno was very interesting to me because it was so unexpected. I'm just going to let you hear it from him and then we'll talk a little bit about this. This is him doing a proclamation, which they do proclamations all the time. They're super boring, okay? Not this time, okay?
You know, I always say this all the time. If you don't have a good office of procurement, you're going to have problems. And we got a great office of procurement. What a turnaround that they have enacted. We're driving work out the door. We're going to have a record-breaking year again for solicitations going out the door. And it's because of the hard work this group right here that stands before you. They're energetic, they're excited, and they have just done fantastically well. And I appreciate them so much. I have a proclamation I'll read, and then I'll turn it over.
So he's going to do a proclamation on the procurement department, you know, the folks who go get stuff, you know, who buy things, acquire, that's what that is. And he's going to talk about them. And we just heard, you know, from Commissioner Bender how, you know, they got a bunch of jet skis over from New Orleans that were hard to find. I don't know if procurement, I'm sure procurement had something to do with that, but this is just more general. And you're like, Andrew, why are you spending time talking about a proclamation for the procurement department? Well, you'll hear why, and then we'll talk about why he's so right about this. This is actually, like I said, this is kind of an interesting moment in the meeting.
And whereas purchasing professionals are tasked with executing and implementing contracts, developing and improving tactical procurement strategies, and cultivating great working relationships with vendors and all county departments. And whereas the public procurement professionals working for Escambia County, Florida, are responsible for complying with county ordinances, state statutes, and federal regulations for purchases totaling hundreds of millions of dollars per year. And whereas, during the pandemic and when otherwise called upon, government procurement professionals work in pressing conditions to meet challenges and secure materials, resources, and personal protective equipment for frontline workers, contributing to the county's rapid response to the needs of its citizens.
Do you hear it? You hear it in his voice. Yeah, he's on the verge of tears. He's like choking back tears as he's talking about the procurement department, which is not what you would normally think, but you hear how meaningful it is to him and how essential a good, well-functioning procurement department is to the county, something you never think about. You never think about that, but, you know, getting the equipment to mow the grass or to fill the potholes or to, you know, have vehicles for this agency or that. I mean, just all of the stuff that they do, and he's, you know, having to deal with that and having seen it not be done well because there's been big reforms in that department, and basically going out and, you know, healing that department and seeing them come into their own, he's just, you know, he's choked up about it, and rightly so. It means he cares and they care and it's working.
And whereas the Escambia County Purchasing Department is a member of the National Institute for Government Procurement, the NGIP recognizes, supports, and practices the public procurement values and guiding principles of accounting ethics, impartiality, professionalism, service, and transparency. And whereas it is fitting that we recognize and honor the ongoing contributions of America's purchasing professionals by observing Purchasing Month with the motto, Purchasing, Helping Build Better Business and Government. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of County Commissioners of Escambia County hereby proclaim the month of March 2023 as Purchasing Month. Would you please give them a hand?
I mean, how just adorable is that? Just how, you know, like, you think of the trenches of the work that people do and the difficulty of what the sheriff's office does or code enforcement or the corrections department. And we ran into some of the folks from the jail yesterday, and we were at Pofolk's for lunch. And they're just fabulous people and some of the difficult things they deal with. You probably didn't think of, like, procurement as the challenge. But it really has been, and that's the point, is the work they do is so essential. We never think, you know, during the pandemic, we got in this habit of, like, thanking essential workers who never get thanked for anything, you know, like garbage men and,
fast,
you know, the cashiers
and, yeah, absolutely,
you know, all of it, the stuff you just take totally for granted. Well, let me tell you, you take procurement people for granted. You absolutely do, because you never thought, maybe your whole life you never thought about them until today. And it's just, it's so endearing to me to see a county administrator kind of lose it over something like that, because it's that significant. But at the same time, I will say that Wes is a friend, and he will appreciate this. Wes, there's no crying in procurement.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
I'm already going to have to up my meds from Connie Bookman, and then I start crying again because of Wes Moreno, and I'm crying out of laughter because of Tom Hanks.
And so. Chip Simmons, we're having a good emotional day
forth
today.
Yay.
No, I really do love Wes. He's great.
Never thought about procurement, though. Man,
right.
We really appreciate you guys. It's
exactly
funny. You never think to do that.
Absolutely. So I appreciate that he did that, and I you know, I texted him because I wasn't sure, too. I texted him, like, were you crying? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I understand. 725. I mean, I don't understand, but I understand that I don't understand. That's the point. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Traffic in the fives now with Candy.
Okay, Navarre, a little stop and go on 98 before 87, that is, if you're heading westbound, it looks like. Certainly caution there and wherever you are. I'm not showing any accidents right now. It's going to stop you from getting where you're going unless you're listening to the show and you need Kleenex. So, man, 4-3, anything else today? 4-3-7,
we'll
great. 16,
show's not
20.
Over yet. We'll see.
Well, it's usually just funny tears. Traffic tips again, 4-3-7-16-20. Text to Min News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. We appreciate our procurement, don't we?
We absolutely
do. I never
do.
Thought about it, but you're...
There you go. Key things in life, right? Things you don't think about till they're not there, not working properly. Hey, if you are an employer and you've got employees, which is what it means to be an employer, and you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that, listen... If what you're doing right now is working for you and you're super happy, and when I talk about it, you don't get a little nervous twitch and you're, you know, like, stop talking about that. Great, keep doing what you're doing. On the other hand, if you're like, oh, Andrew, stop. Shh, don't want to think about it. Well, don't put up with it, okay? Solve it. Call Torgerson Causey. This is what they do. They're a comprehensive employee benefits agency, and they can fix all of that stuff, and they can give you and your employees options, save you money, make, you know, just make it better, okay? Make the pain stop. So give them a call. They'll look at what you're doing. It doesn't cost anything to have them review your programs. They did it for us about 5 years ago. We went with them, and they've been great. I mean, genuinely, they have been fantastic ever since. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. That's Torgerson Causey. David Wayne now in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, they're kicking the can down the road a little bit more. The New York grand jury hearing former President Trump's hush money case, apparently not expected to consider that case for the rest of the week. It's unclear if any more witnesses are going to be called before they vote on whether or not to indict him. The White House asking where the Republican budget proposal is. The Biden administration wants the budget proposal as House Speaker Kevin McCarthy demands President Biden come to the negotiating table over raising the debt ceiling. And the man accused of shooting and killing a Huntsville, Alabama police officer and critically wounding another yesterday apparently has a violent past. Records are showing the 24-year-old suspect was in court just last week, pleading guilty on a charge of carrying a gun without a license. That gun was surrendered as part of an agreement with the state. Then last year, he was also charged with two counts of assault in connection with another shooting. That suspect was arrested after the shooting and remains in jail.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 728, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I talked a lot about the – well, I didn't talk a lot, but I talked – when I talked about it, about why I wasn't talking a lot about it yesterday with the Nashville shooting. And part of what I really didn't like was seeing the video of the murderer on TV all day yesterday, like, because we have screens here on the TV. I'm like, what? This glorifies, this incentivizes, this is horrible. Anyway, you know, but sometimes people show the stuff they're going to show. What I was very encouraged to see yesterday was the Nashville PD released the body cam video of the team that went in to deal with the murderer. And I'm going to play you this audio. It's pretty hair-raising. But the point is, they went right in. They got on the scene, and they went immediately in and straight to the shooter exactly the way they're supposed to. This is them hustling up a stairwell. They can hear the shots in the background, and they're heading for them. The shots are getting louder as they get closer. That's of the person shooting at cops out the window of the second floor. Going around a corner, getting closer. That was it. And what happened is the person had kind of turned and looked at them with the gun, and so they shot from a distance and took them down and then tried again to attack them and shot again. That's what the second time was. But I'm just telling you, this is textbook response by Nashville PD. This is them doing everything they're supposed to do, everything you train for, why you train, so that when reality confronts you, you do exactly what the training says. As opposed to, we have seen some very high-profile examples of law enforcement agencies completely fail this responsibility. So absolute kudos to Nashville PD and the officers who went in and took care of this and killed the murderer in the school. So well done. And this is why you train. And this is exactly what we know our local law enforcement officers have done in the recent past. Because that.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There have been candlelight vigils around Nashville since Monday's shooting at an elementary school. There's a big one planned tonight in a park. The 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults killed, including the school's headmaster.
Catherine Kuntz was on a Zoom call at the time the shooter entered the school. Police say she hung up and went for the shooter after hearing the gunshots, something her friends say is exactly what she would do for her students.
Fox's Brooks Singman. A new California law passed and signed by Governor Gavin Newsom could force oil companies to disclose pricing data to state regulators to prove they aren't raising prices unfairly. State Senator Nancy Skinner wrote it.
Open your books and prove that you're not price gouging. Otherwise, you, big oil, will pay the price, not consumers.
Gasoline in California last summer was $2.60 a gallon higher than the national average. Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street this morning, Dow futures are up more than 200 points. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. News Radio 92.3, 55 right now. Partly cloudy in Pensacola. Family members have identified the victim of that fatal shooting on Mission Road last weekend as being 32-year-old Angel Bailey. And investigators believe she was shot and killed by her cousin, 18-year-old Nathaniel Cunningham. Escambia County deputies still looking for him on murder charges. Family members urging him to turn himself in.
I don't want nobody in the streets to kill him. I don't want no other family members to kill him. We have to forgive and we have to let the law take its place.
That is Takima Thomas, and that shooting happened again at a home on Mission Road last weekend. Family members say Bailey was staying there with her uncle, who's Cunningham's grandfather. If you have information on Cunningham's location, contact Crime Stoppers or call the sheriff's office. A Bay Minette man has died after a crash yesterday in Baldwin County. This happened north of Bay Minette on I-65. Alabama state troopers say 57-year-old Robert Mons IV hydroplaned, drove off the road and hit a tree. He was taken to a hospital in Mobile but died from his injuries. Well, you got a couple more days to get your property taxes paid before they become delinquent. News Radio's Steve Taylor tells us more about
it. Escambia County Tax Collector Scott Lunsford says unpaid real estate and tangible property taxes will become delinquent on April 1st. When that happens, penalties of 3% for real estate taxes and 1.5% for tangible taxes will be assessed. As of today, over $27 million remains unpaid, accounting for about 8% of the total tax roll. You can pay your taxes online or mail with a March postmark or left in a 24-hour drop box by midnight March 31st. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
The election's over in Century. Two interim town council members there that began serving in January are now officially elected into their council seats. For Council Seat 3, Shalisa McCall won the election. She got 89 votes to challenger Evelyn Weber's 44. In Seat 4, Alicia Johnson defeated challenger Eddie Hammond with 89 votes to his 43. Both McCall and Johnson had been appointed to those seats last January. This was after nobody ran for the seats during the previous election. Johnson and McCall will now be officially sworn in April 7th, but they'll remain in their seats as interim council members until then. Turnout for the election was just over 14% of the registered voters that live in Century. New law expanding school vouchers to all kids across the state of Florida, taking effect during the next school year. Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez says it's all about parental rights.
We've built upon significant achievements throughout our first term, and now this is really the crown jewel. What we've done here is monumental and historic. It's expanding school choice to every single Floridian family.
And Governor DeSantis signed that bill into law earlier this week. It'll officially become law on July 1st. All K through 12 students across the state of Florida will now be able to get vouchers to go to private schools regardless of their family income. Opponents of the law, of course, concerned about the costs, and the vouchers will be worth about $8,000 per student per school year. Again, that all begins next fall. Well, Santa Rosa County deputies continued the annual law enforcement torch run yesterday. Deputies ran with the Special Olympics torch for about a mile and a half across a portion of Santa Rosa County. The day before that, Escambia County deputies participated, and today deputies in Okaloosa County take a turn. The torch is going to make its way across the state, county by county, until it's eventually handed off to Special Olympic athletes for the Florida Special Olympic Games. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Hey, not seeing a lot this morning. That's good. The accident on Fairfield and U Street has been moved off to the side. Shouldn't have any problems there. It looks like 10 and 110 moving just fine. Watch for your usual areas of congestion, in Beulah, certainly near the fairgrounds on Mobile Highway. But everything seems to be running smoothly. 29 also accident-free. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Cloudy day today with temperatures warming up near 70 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the low 50s. Sunshine returns on Thursday. Plenty of sunshine with a high near 73. Low near 63 degrees. For Friday, we will have partly cloudy skies with a high near 78, temperatures dropping near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 55 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, and 52 right now in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Apple is getting into the buy now, pay later game. The maker of iPhones, iPads, and MacBooks has launched Apple Pay Later, giving customers the ability to split purchases into four separate interest-free payments. The payments will be spread over the course of 6 weeks, and users will be able to track the payments in their Apple Wallet. Shoppers can apply for loans between $50 and $1,000, which can then be used for online and in-app purchases that are made on either an iPhone or iPad. Traders are pulling billions of dollars from Binance as problems plaguing the world's largest crypto exchange continue to mount. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission on Monday sued Binance, alleging the exchange operated illegally in the U.S. and violated rules designed to prevent illicit financial activity. As of Monday evening, Binance had experienced net outflows of $2.1 billion on the Ethereum blockchain over 7 days. On Wall Street, futures are higher. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Cap Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and this is now two times in 24 hours that I have spent a little bit of time with Mayor D.C. Reeves, because last night we were at the PACE Awards, and of course this morning he's on the air with us. D.C., welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Man, huge night last night, and your mom, of course, winning the award, making us all cry and think about our lives, you know. I mean, it's just... That's got to be a pretty neat moment for you as an observer, as a kid.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was just asked about for another interview, you know, what inspires you to do this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, when Connie Bookman's your mom and, you know, literally a life dedicated to serving, helping other people, you know, and not expecting anything else. It's, you get to watch that for 38 years. It, you know, makes you feel like you want to go out and make an impact too. So, I could never make the impact that she is making, but yeah, certainly a proud moment and well deserved.
No, man, no, it's fantastic. And her speech, very challenging to everybody to think, you know, well, what can you do to maybe thwart a person becoming homeless on the front end? You know, oh, God, didn't think about it that way. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So thanks. And just, you know, very emotional, wonderful. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on in the city. One is you and I were just chatting before you came on the air, and we might have an actual, maybe fingers crossed, solution for Graffiti Bridge.
Yeah, we're on the tail end, we believe. You know, we've been working real hard in public works to as I had said at the beginning, you know, I joke, as much as I've enjoyed all of the memes and the jokes on social media that, hey, Mayor, you know, one no truck sign isn't going to solve it. We know that. We've always said it was going to be a two-phase process. One, we wanted to be able to make it truly a no-truck zone so we could ticket if we needed to, you know, and that, which was not did not exist before. So that's already in place. In phase two of it, which just takes longer because it's a state road on the south, it's a local road on the north, is to put something physical there, you know, which I probably get 5 emails a week that says, why don't you put one of those things that has, and of course, you know, we say thank you for your suggestion, but I mean, we really have been working on that for several months, and we finally believe from a, you know, we have a rough idea of cost, which was surprising, but also, you know, just to bring to fruition something actually physical, tangible, that would, warn someone before they get under the bridge. So, you know, the ever elusive over all these years of time since I was a kid here, you know, maybe this is going to be our best offense yet against a truck getting stuck under the bridge, I believe. So, and,
I mean, I assume we're talking about forward. A physical something physical that's going to, you know, yes. like a garage or a fast food drive through or something like that.
Correct. It would be something physical before the bridge. Meaning it's not just something attached to the bridge. It would be something before the bridge on both sides. Should give you plenty of warning. So we'll see. Hey, look, and I've seen crazier things happen than getting through one of those and then still getting stuck under the bridge. Still no promises.
Right.
I think this is our best chance yet to end the streak.
You're going to be the mayor that solves Graffiti Bridge. You know, the funny thing is, on the one hand, we're all like, oh, thank God. On the other hand, we're going to be like, oh, man, you remember the good old days when we had these funny photos? But no, it's a public safety issue. It's a massive cost. It's an inconvenience to the people. It bottles up traffic. I mean, we laugh and joke, but it really is a big issue that if we can solve it, I mean, that's a major step forward in public safety, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, police have to go out. The people have to respond. I mean, the rail company has to, you know, look, inspect the bridge.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you don't hear about that go into this that make this convoluted. So despite taking away some of our Pensacolians' entertainment, you know, it is the best plan of action for us.
It is our favorite side sport. That's right. You and I talked last week about the closing of the Malcolm, the gym, basically. But now Bay Bluffs Park, the northern half of all of the walkway, that's been closed because of uncertainty about the structural stability of the walk area, the boardwalk.
Yeah, boardwalk.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah. So we've gone and evaluated that, and same thing. You know, it comes back to, we're trying to take an enhanced and increased look at, you know, the things that we own. I've talked about several times on the show that, you know, ribbon cuttings are nice and maintenance maybe not as exciting, but it's I believe more vital. And so, we don't want anybody getting hurt. You know, we're, as I said yesterday in the press conference, I mean, at Malcolm Young. We're not trying to put out, you know, Lighthouse Christian. We know it's an inconvenience, but, you know, it's nothing compared to if someone got hurt in there because we didn't do something, you know, and it's our building, you know, even if we're leasing it, if something happened in there, that's still a city responsibility in some way. So same at Bay Bluff. So we don't want a child running down there and getting hurt. And so I would rather close it and make sure that we have it done right and, you know, take the heat of, you know, having to close some of our parks. But it's a microcosm of what the review and the enhancement we're trying to make, which is we got a lot of things to take care of: 94 parks, 10 community centers, green spaces, public right-of-ways. I mean, we have a lot of things to take care of in this town, and we've just got to get serious about, you know, what the kind of condition they're in and how we get them you know, into a safe condition where people can enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's a liability for the city, but it's also a matter of, you know, we can't just keep building stuff without paying for the maintenance. But the response over all the time that I've lived here has kind of always been, yeah, I get that it's important, but we just don't have enough resources to maintain everything, and so we just kind of let it slide. Like, you know, Bay Bluffs Park, anybody who's been there has been there and seen boards broken out or missing sections, or, you know, graffiti's one thing. That's cosmetic, but, you know, substantial stuff. Or playground equipment where it's rusted or dangerous or whatever. I mean, those are things that you really just can't afford to turn a blind eye to, although that's, you know, tempting because, as you say, it's not all that sexy to, you know, nobody wants to be the mayor that puts Don't Cross Here tape around the, you know, the pirate ship. But if the pirate ship has rotting boards at the Tippin Park, well, you got to, you know, you got to block that off. We're talking to D.C. Reeves, absolutely, the mayor of Pensacola. Mayor, hang on for just 1 second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
Your mom killed me with that speech. I just want you to know. 29 is accident-free, not showing any problems. It looks like 90 from Milton at the Pace into Pensacola. It looks good. I-10 a little backed up. This looks eastbound on I-10 eastbound, starting, it looks like, about Pine Forest and almost to the Car City exit. Actually, backwards from that, almost to the Car City exit, back to the Pine Forest exit. Very, very slow this morning. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. So we had an interesting two news notes out of the port this week that I will summarize in the following way. Streamline Boats is dead. Long live the pickleball courts. Like, the one thing is gone, but we're doing a new thing in the other building, right?
Yeah, that's a nice, concise way to put it. We're Warehouse 10, which was Streamline Boats. We had notified them that we're terminating that lease as per the lease conditions, which was to have a CO by, I believe, March 15th. And of course, that project, and we're close to that. So we're, you know, moving on from there. They had requested an additional extension, but we denied that request, and we're just going to move forward with seeing what else we can do at Warehouse 10.
All right.
But pickleball, yeah, we had a meeting as of yesterday morning with the potential operator, and what I'd say is, you know, we do not have a lease finalized quite yet, but we're down to conversations around parking and some other things that, you know, I think are a good signal that we're going to be able to get this thing done. And our intent is to get it done, you know, in front of council by April. So really exciting, you know, and getting to see the plans. And what we talked about both with American Magic and pickleball is this is not just about the rent that the operator pays. These are about catalytic economic impact. These are two operations that are important that should transcend rent and property tax. It should be, you know, significant impacts with regional tournaments coming in and how hot that sport is right now, as well as, of course, being put on the map as one of the best places in the country to sail, you know, with American Magic being here. And so that's what we're looking for. When you have 50 acres and a finite amount of land, you look for opportunities to have catalytic impact with what you do have. And so I'm really, really excited about pushing these two forward.
And there's another thing that you got accomplished with city council over the last week that it's super unsexy, but it's really important, which is just bringing standardization to the memorandums of understanding for the various sport clubs that operate in city parks and on city facilities. And, you know, I don't think we need to get into the details because it's a long conversation about what was done. But the short answer is we ought to just have consistency. And it's been, you know, this one this way and this one that way over all these years. So kudos to you for getting all of that done. I definitely wanted to talk with you a little bit about the two announced yesterday sort of contesty slash proposals. One is for the welcome area that used to be the Five Flags display when you came over the bridge and came into Pensacola. And you have, you know, artists have a package of, you know, parameters for them to submit. And Dalrymple Salas is kind of overseeing that. The question that I have is, I assume somebody's going to submit a, hey, have you thought about putting up five flags? Welcome to Pensacola. Are you open to that, or is that not going to happen, or are you just kind of going to wait and see? Because I assume there's going to be either that directly or an incorporated version of that.
I don't think it's a replacement of that. Obviously, that was taken down because of the construction.
Right.
And then this was us really working. You know, I give a lot of credit to FDOT to allow us to do this. You know, they had proposed something kind of more generic that probably didn't, it wasn't necessarily speaking to something Pensacola. And, it's one of these things, 100,000 people a day are going to see this sign. Yeah. And it's something that I just feel like we have to have some ownership as a community in, and not just what the mayor thinks might look good, or, you know, what an architect might think, you know, solely.
Right.
I think this is, you know, a cool way to engage our community and for us to have ownership in something that could kind of define us, you know, in terms of, you know, what you see when you come in from Gulf Breeze. So I'm really excited for this. It's extra work, it's extra complexity, of course, to do a contest like this, but, you know, I think in the end it'll be worth it. And everything's on the table, you know, I mean, that's what we want. We want people to be creative and imaginative about what they want it to be. And it can be something 2D, it can be something 3D, structural. You know, and so we're really excited to see what happens and what we get from
that. I love it. And I'm glad to hear that you're open to whatever people submit. And by the way, I love that you're getting public input on this instead of, you know, hey, here's the three designs we're going to pick from, or even just here's the design you're going to live with. I really appreciate that. Last thing for the topics wise is the other contest, which is blowing up your email. Name the three street sweepers, right?
That's right. Yeah. So we've gotten, I told you last night, but by close of business, we announced it yesterday morning. I think we'd had 500 name submissions. So,
oh my God.
You know, we have till April 14th. So Casey Lagarde's going to have her email is going to be inundated with names for the next couple of weeks. But the we're excited about it. Other communities have done this. And, you know, again, another way to kind of engage our community. And, you know, and if you're thinking about Sweepy Nick Sweetface, it's already been put in like 10 times out there, so you don't have to do that one. But we've gotten some great ones, you know, and that's what we like about it. We want people to, you know, see the name or pick the name and then see it out sweeping their street, you know, sometime soon. And just, you know, I saw people doing that, other cities doing that with snow plows and all sorts of other stuff, and thought it would be something fun. You know?
And you texted me a couple, like, sweep dreams are made of this, and sweep child of mine, and, you know, Broomhilda. Yeah. I mean, just there's a bunch of great names out there. I love it. I'm looking forward to it. All right, we always like to end a little bit on a lightning round or just kind of a fun thing. Do you use a refillable water bottle? If so, how often do you clean it?
No, I don't, because I got too much to keep up with.
Okay.
You know? So I would end up leaving it whatever office I was at.
I got you.
Nope.
Very good. When you eat an orange, are you a peel and separate the segments? Are you a cut it across the equator? And what's your method for eating an orange?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be segmented. I don't know. You know, you might be a little crazy if you're just, you know, cutting it. You know, I've got to go definitely a peel and segment. It's too messy.
Normal. So you're a normal human. I like that. And the last one is, and this is a little bit hard, but I'm going to give you, you know, you got to be on your feet for this one. You have a chance to send a three-word message to 13-year-old D.C. Reeves. What is your three-word message to 13-year-old D.C. Reeves?
Do more homework. you know, my high school GPA needed improvement at Catholic high school. There's probably some teachers at Catholic that are surprised to hear me on the radio this morning.
That's fantastic. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you. Again, congratulations to your mom for last night, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
If your family includes an amazing kid with autism, then you are invited to WSRE on Saturday, April 1st for Amazing Kids Day, an event offering sensory-friendly fun for kids and helpful resources for family impacted by autism. It's Amazing Kids Day on April 1st. This free event will accommodate a limited number of children, so registration is required. Go to wsre.org/education to register your family for Amazing Kids Day, 9 a.m. to noon on April 1st at WSRE.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Do you feel this vehicle is safe for highway travel?
Why did love put a gun in my hand?
Why, yes, officer, sure. Why, what are you seeing? God, I love that scene from Planes, Trains, Automobiles. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Just taking a look around. Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Certainly caution as you know wherever you are, but it's your usual areas of congestion this morning. But everything looks fine. 29 from the Atmore cutoff down to the split at Pace Palafox. Not showing any problems. Taking a look downtown. All the alphabet seems just fine. Certainly if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, somebody texts in and says the street sweeper names Mo, Curly, and Larry. And then Shemp if they get a fourth one.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Somebody else said PSS 1701, and I was like, what? He says NCC 1701, like the Enterprise.
Starship Enterprise.
But Pensacola Street Sweeper.
Oh, I love
PSS
that.
PSS 1701. Yes. And you can put Star Wars emblems and iconography all over it. You know, that could be fun.
Star Trek.
What did I say?
Star Wars.
I'm so sorry. Ugh. Oh, so just.
Hey, I get why Reese left.
I have to quit. I mean, I have to leave. I can't continue. I'm done. Yeah, we're leaving. All right, bye. You have to come back and press the button for David. But. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. It's a moment of great ignominy for us.
I was going to try, but it didn't work. It didn't work. President Biden says Benjamin Netanyahu won't be invited to the White House anytime soon as the Israeli leader is trying to push through his controversial judicial reforms. Netanyahu's temporarily put aside plans to limit the power of the Israeli Supreme Court after massive protests in his country. Three people have been injured after a train collision in Mobile. An Amtrak was performing a test run from Mobile to New Orleans when it hit a truck off US 90 yesterday. The truck's driver and two passengers were hurt, but nobody on board the train was injured. And there's apparently going to be quite a show in the night sky here soon.
Oh, yeah.
The planets are going to be lining up here. And
so literally you can say, well, the planets are all in alignment.
Absolutely. Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, and Uranus. Here's the story I've got on
NASA it. Says five planets are lining up, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, Uranus, and Mars. All you have to do to see them is look up from anywhere in the world. Look to the moon. The planets will stretch from the horizon line to about halfway up the night sky. Mars will be by the moon and has a red glow. You'll need binoculars or a telescope to check out Mercury and Uranus because they're tiny. And if you miss the opportunity, the planets will have a do-over June 17th. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
So to be clear, if you're going to need a telescope to check out Uranus, is there... Come on!
She kept saying the moon,
she
too.
Just kept saying it, and the moons, and the... Oh. Mm-mm.
So there's that.
There's that. I try to tell people, 52 on the outside, 12 on the inside, okay? You know, that's just the way it is, right? Or for you, Katie,
oh, you mean 20, the age?
Yeah, 29 on the outside, 12 on the inside. So
thought that was another moon joke.
Oh, God, no. I see where your head's at, though. I like it. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, and did you happen to catch what former President Trump said about Governor DeSantis on the Hannity show? Oh my God, he's a never-ending. Oh my God.
Ron came to see me, tears in his eyes. He said, I need you to do me a big favor. Would you endorse me? I fought for you. So I said, let's give it a shot, Ron, okay? And he was desperate. I said, okay. I gave him a nice endorsement. I got him the nomination. By the way, couldn't have never gotten the nomination. He would be working in either a pizza parlor place or a law office right now, okay? And he wouldn't be very happy.
What? Because he's Italian? He'd be working in a pizza parlor place?
Because all the Italians I know.
Because that's all the Italians
were.
I mean, the laugh track, by this is on The Daily Show, is where I caught the clip of this. But he'd be working in a pizza parlor? Oh, just stop. Stop. Shh. We'll be back in a minute.